Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In about 15 minutes, we'll go out to Mobile, Alabama to check in with our guy Ryan Fowler of the Draft Network out at the Senior Bowl. We'll ask him who stood out and who met with the Washington Commanders. So we'll get you started with some draft prep. Doesn't it feel weird? We're just now getting into the draft talk. I love it. I love it. Can't get enough of it. The youngest in Charles and L. Willingham here with you on this Tuesday night edition of Overtime. I'll take you up to 8:45. Caps hockey coming up as the fellas finish up their 5-game road trip. They're out in Calgary taking on the Flames. John Walton, Ken Sabourin on the call coming up. Pre-game coverage just started at 8:45. Puck drops at 9 o'clock right here on The Fan. I just, it's tough. Me and Max, who answers your calls and chimes in with just astute commentary throughout the show, we were having the conversation in the break about Bobby Wagner. And it's a hot-button topic. That's why the offseason is fun, man. See, this was different. We got to learn to embrace this. Because I know we disagree and we get frustrated with each other. We got to remember this offseason is different because we have the guy. It's like going to a restaurant and you know what the main course is. You got your Wagyu, you got your Tomahawk and Jayden Daniels. Now it's about, well, how good is the mac and cheese? How good is your asparagus? How good is your dirty rice? Speaking of dirty rice, I don't know if you saw this, Max. Popeyes and Don Julio.
Did see this.
Collabing. Yuck.
Yeah, my stomach couldn't handle
all
that.
It sounds like a toilet run waiting to happen.
A toilet sprint.
Well, about to say at that point, right?
Might be a little bit more.
We're taking your calls on the Commanders' defense. How much blame should be placed on Joe Witt Jr.? And then what do you think is the biggest need for this Commanders' defense? I also want to ask, how inclined are you to bring Bobby Wagner back? Now, I said it, I would bring him back, but I don't need him playing the volume of snaps he played this year. I just don't. And I'm getting ready to give you all the exact numbers. I was trying to work on it during the break, but I am just not as fast on my feet as I should be, and that is not room for you all to make a fat joke about me either, so calm the hell down. I wanted to see how many snaps that he played for this defense this year because, to me, that is the difference. His snaps have to be reduced. Defensive play time percentage, boom. Let's go to the Washington Commanders, and we're continue to line up on the phones. We'll take your calls on this. Bobby, damn. He played the most snaps on the defense. That can't be the case, guys. I love Bobby Wagner as much as the next guy. NFL Next Gen Stats has him credited with 132 tackles, 74 run stops, 101 pass rushes, 24 quarterback pressures. He was good, man, at times. But there were times where he also hurt this group. There is no way in hell that Bobby Wagner can play 98.8% of the snaps next year. That's how many snaps he played. 98.8. That's the big reason why this run defense wasn't worth a damn. See, I'm going to say what y'all scared to say. I didn't realize he was playing that percentage of the snaps. How much of the run defensive issues are on Bobby being old and slow? We got to talk about it, man. 1-800-636-1067. I need that. If he's playing if he played 98% of the snaps this year, I need that cut to at least 90, 80, 89, 85, something. He at times can be a liability, man. And it's no slight towards Bobby. I know he's a Hall of Famer. I know it was announced today he's going to the Pro Bowl for the 10th time in his career. Great. But, man, you got to upgrade at that position, man. They need speed more than anything. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Let's get to Akshay and Chantilly. What's going on?
What's up, Lynn? It's Akshay. Thanks for
Akshay, what's going on, brother?
Call.
Sorry for the miss. For the
You're good, bro. You're good. It's a hard name to say. I'll tell you, man, I would love your show. So first,
appreciate
big
you,
time props to you. Yeah. So look, I'm going to take you on a way back machine. But first, let me say, yeah, Bobby is phenomenal. You do have to keep him around to hopefully help out some of these other younger cats who are going to be fast, because we need those sideline to sideline guys sitting back there on that second level. But forget about that. Those guys can't do anything unless you have a couple of space eaters in the middle. I'm talking about like a Vince Wilfork type of person. I'm talking about like a B.J. Raji. And then perhaps you kick out Duran and John out into the ends when we were having to deal with setting the edge and bringing in situational pass rushers when you need them. But you need girth, like my man Zion or one of these other guys said. You need some girth. You need some weight. Look at Jalen Carter. Dude is a monster. He'll slap three people out of the way and hit Jaden. I saw him do a couple times.
Yes.
We need people like that. We don't have them. Our guys right now, I think they're smaller. They're big, but they're more athletic. They're not going to anchor, right? They're going to get pushed around with double teams. The other thing is, man, Joe Witt's phenomenal. This guy come along and
I'd run through a wall for him.
I would, too. And look, this takes me back to, you know, Richie Pettibone. Man, those guys be getting their butts kicked, and they'll come out halftime with an adjustment. And those cats, Wilbur Marshall, Monty Coleman, those guys, sideline guys. And by the way, Luba reminds me of Marshall. Luba's one of my favorite players. He reminds me of my all-time favorite Wilbur Marshall linebacker. If I could come back as a linebacker, that's who I'd be. So all I got to say is give him some girth. Add a couple of pieces there in the second level, and you're going to need some cornerbacks to match up with these NFC's, you know, wide receivers, or else we're just going to keep getting eaten up every time we see those damn, you know, you said it best, those cheese whiz snorting, you know, Philadelphia people. Bro,
I can tell you tapping in. I didn't know if people caught that, man. I can tell you tapping in, brother. I appreciate you calling in as always, man.
They cracked up. I love it.
Appreciate you, my brother. 1-800-636-1067. It is hard because y'all know how I get down, man. I want this team to be great, just like y'all do. I bleed burgundy and gold. I'm wearing the patch right now. The Bobby Wagner snap count, my jaw is on the floor in here.
That was remarkable. I thought it would be like 95. 98?
0.8. He damn near played every snap. He's too damn old to be doing that. He just is. That's organizational malpractice. If y'all want to blame Joe Witt Jr. for something, blame him for that. He played too many snaps. And it's a big reason why this run defense struggled at times, man. 1-800-636. 34 years old?
34.
Yeah, that's too many snaps, bro.
That's a lot.
Point blank. Sean is in Winchester. What's going on, Sean?
Hey, man, what's going on, Willingham?
What's going on,
bro? I just want to say I appreciate you guys all through the year. Y'all kept it going live, and I appreciate it. It was a hell of a ride. I try to answer all three of your questions. As far as Wagner goes, mm-hmm. I fell in love with London Fletcher. That was my middle linebacker for years. But, I mean, when he got trucked by Baker Mayfield, you know what I mean, that was pretty much it for me.
Everybody has a low point, though. But, yeah, I
like to keep him around, but, you know, we definitely – but I was asking, you know, all year long, once we got rid of Jamin Davis, did we at any fact run a 4-3 or what were we running? We just ran with the two linebackers. And
So their base defense is what your traditional 4-3 is. They didn't run base a ton. There were times where there were three linebackers on the field, though, and you saw it. I believe the first time you saw it, they came out in the Atlanta Falcons game with Luvu, Bobby, and Jordan McGee. But then Jordan McGee got hurt, obviously.
I'm hoping that McGee turns out to be something, but, I mean, as far as...
And McGee's got all... Look, if we're talking about we need speed at that position. That's what McGee got, man.
If we have to do the thing where we get a big name, you know, I'm all for Parsons, but that's kind of like a pipe dream.
Yeah.
And if we don't, you know, we issue that in the draft. But as far as, you know, yeah, I'd love to have it anchoring like Sweat, defensive end that can defend the run. But again, you still got Deron Payne, and you're paying them a lot of money. You want something out of them. One of them's not going to be there, I don't think, next year. But hopefully they solidify that in the draft with free agency. But again, man, I appreciate you all.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, brother. 1-800-636-1067. Let's try to squeeze one more in here. Let's go to Eli in D.C. What's up, Eli?
Yo, what's good, man? I'm not even, like, mad at Joe Witt at all. It's really, because I feel like he had his foot on the gas pedal with the roster that he had. You think out in Europe they got the Autobahn. Yeah. You got your foot all the way on the gas.
For sure.
And that's all you got. And then somebody flicked their lights, and you're like, man, you just got to move over. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they're going to retool. And also, you got to bring back Bobby Wagner because he can get your guys lined up.
Yes.
And individual performance is great, but having guys truly lined up, especially for this first year,
yeah,
you really need – this was a big lift to actually get this defense to this point. You didn't have nobody on the squad truly on the defensive side who actually had been to this point. So we're talking about all of the speeches and all of the things that actually contributed to this point. I think that's why you're bringing them back. And he can kind of play through other guys in a sense. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Tell a guy on the field, oh, go rush, boom. He can tell a guy to go do something. He can certain things on the field that you have to have certain alignments. Yeah, that
Eli, don't get me wrong.
Can't happen.
Don't get me wrong either, Eli. I think he could still play. It's just not 98% of the damn snaps.
No,
it can't be that volume.
It can't, man. And even if you bring him as a rotational, how can we get him 130? Tackles,
yeah, I know,
and all of those same things without putting him putting the whole team in a disadvantage. How can we stay in an advantageous situation?
Yeah.
That's continuing to build the team, and it's the angle of pursuit. You see how Philly, they linebackers are playing a certain type of speed, and it's the angle of pursuit, and we have to be able to do that. Obviously, in the trenches, setting the edges, and I think what we got away from with having those two guys, we invested a lot in that line from the last regime. So this is what you get when we don't do things always correctly. I love John, love Deron. They're great. And I'm cool. They're doing great. But when we know what happened with the ends.
Yeah.
So that takes time. And now we're getting back where we can actually do something now.
Yeah, this offseason is going to be pivotal, man. It's going to be pivotal.
Yeah,
Eli, appreciate the call as always, brother.
Take a good swing.
Appreciate you as always, brother. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Fuad? Fuad in Silver Spring. What's going on, brother?
What's going on, man? I'm going to try my best to knock these things out real quick. So the blame pot, I would say, is 70% talent, 30% or 75-25 scheme. You know, this is year one. One thing that was evidently clear Sunday is that there's just a huge talent gap. And, you know, that's going to happen. We don't have any – think about it. The only first rounder that we have from the previous regime on this roster is Deron Payne.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think people really understand that we had four first-round picks that are no longer here by the last regime. So just the fact that we even got it to that point is remarkable, considering, you know, how much we don't have the talent that we need to compete at the highest level. When it comes to Wagner, nah, we do need to keep him. I definitely agree, and I was really bummed when Jordan McGee got hurt in training camp. I was really excited to see how he was going to look. He seems like he has that potential to pop and make those game-changing plays and be a game wrecker on defense. Just at the end of the day, I think we're in a position now when we draft, and I trust in Adam Peters. The only position that we are prohibited from drafting is quarterback. Everything else is fair game because we need to improve this talent all across the board at every single level. I just need people to pop on the screen. The way Jalen Carter pops on the screen, the way Jordan Davis pops, the way Zach Mond, the way all these guys make plays that pop, we just need to invest in more people that can make these pop game-changing plays, and we'll be straight.
For sure. Hey, I appreciate you as always, brother, man. Keep chiming in. 1-800-636-1067. Daryl's in Waldorf. What's up, Daryl? Appreciate you. Yes, sir, I'm doing good, brother.
So I'm going to make this quick, man. I think everybody hit on the same thing. So quickly with Bobby Wagner, you have to bring him back. He is instrumental to the relationship that he has with Jaden Daniels. So I'm going to keep Jaden Daniels happy. Yeah, we cutting his snaps. He's slow. I tell all my people that if it's one play you want to look at, it's the toss play that the Eagles ran, and we got Bobby falling over his feet. We got Fowler falling down. These are the guys that were supposed to be in those gaps. The lack of speed that Bobby has is telling. It's on film. Schematically, there was a I think in earlier when they played Philly, they schemed him to check Saquon one-on-one. I don't know how they did that, but that was crazy. So we know he can't do certain things. He's a liability at times. But we're bringing him back. Moving to the D-line, De'Ron Payne got to go. Quite simply, he's athletic, but I don't think he has the work ethic. He was motivated to get a contract. Once he got the contract,
that's tough, dude.
There's no excuse for why you can't beat a double team or one-on-one. We're paying too much money. Now, going forward, you draft to beat the Eagles. That's what you do. They are the hunter. Yep. Like they still gonna say they hunt. Now we have to hunt them. They offensive line, and I'm being very quick about this. Jordan Mailata, 6'8", 365 pounds. Mekhi Becton, 6'7", 363 yep. pounds. Your biggest guy on the D line was
come on, preach.
Maybe 325. We can't do nothing with their offensive line. Nothing. De'Ron Payne is 303. And Johnny Newton is 295. Yeah. We not big enough on
We're
the
not.
D-line.
Daryl, I appreciate the call as always, brother. You hit it right on the head. I mean, the Eagles, Jeff Stoutland coaches his ass off. He's the best offensive line coach in football. It's just tough. Dez is in Temple Hills. Got to be quick, brother, as we're up against it.
All right, I'm going to be quick with it, man. Thanks for taking the call. Because everybody pretty much been saying a lot of the same things, and I feel how they feel. Like, everybody need to chill out on Joe Witt. If anybody thinking that Joe Witt need to go, anything like the crazy dude said on Grand Danny earlier, they obviously haven't been watching us the past couple years and seeing how Ron Rivera, this supposedly all-great linebacker that played on the greatest defensive team of all time, screwed us over on defense. We spent half the year trying to, you know what I'm saying, fix his mistakes and removing Forbes and Davis. But you know what I'm saying? I definitely think Bobby Wagner should stay because, you know, just like, well, Nick, I'm not going to say Nick Sirianni necessarily needed him, but he definitely benefited from having Jason Kelce, you know what I'm saying, there, them first couple of years, you know what I'm saying, just to blend the team together. And not to say that, you know what I'm saying, because Bobby Wagner ain't been with us forever, but he's known Dan Quinn forever. So, you know what I'm saying? It's making it a lot easier for, you know what I'm saying, Dan Quinn, for everybody to see. You know what I'm saying? Just for to keep the same type of message and everything going through the locker room and, you know what I'm saying, building the team camaraderie and everything. So I definitely – you
think Sure, Des. I appreciate the call as always, brother. We got Ryan Fowler. We're going live out to Mobile at the Senior Bowl next. Welcome back to Overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Linnell Willingham taking you up to 8:45 Caps Hockey. Coming up on the other side of myself. Right now, we're going to go out to Mobile, Alabama, where we find one of the absolute best talking all things NFL draft and all things NFL. I got Ryan Fowler of the Draft Network. Make sure you give him a follow on the X app at _Ryan_Fowler_ NFL and the college football analyst for the Draft Network joins us now. Ryan, you're out in Mobile right now. First of all, appreciate you giving us some time. Relative to the Washington Commanders, they had the 29th overall pick. They've got, I believe it's 4 picks in the top 150. When you look at some of their positions of need, edge rusher, running back, another wide receiver, offensive line, defensive back, linebacker, in my opinion, who stood out today potentially at a position of need for Washington?
Yeah, Linnell, first things first, man, I always appreciate you having me on.
Yes,
you know, the years past, we're always so focused on the draft, right, as far as having a top 15 or a top 10 pick, or last year with a top 3 pick, of course, grabbing Jaden. But this year, you know, when you look at the positions of need for Washington, it's a good year to need a running back, potentially. It's a good year to need an edge rusher. It's a good year to get a guy on the outside for me. You know, this draft is not top heavy. You know, you're going to get guys in that 20 to 70, 20 to 80 range where you're going to find some ball players. And seeing Adam Peters down here today locked in to the one-on-ones with receivers and corners, Azariah Thomas from Florida State, Dorian Strong from Virginia Tech. I thought Maxwell Hairston from Kentucky and Mac McWilliams from UCF, two guys that may project inside similar-ish type of frames from Mike Sanrasteel, and we saw what Mike did obviously this year, sliding from nickel into perimeter. There were a lot of standouts today, but I think, Linnell, so far really here in Mobile after day one, and then also from the Shrine there in Frisco last week, was the small school offensive lineman. Gray Zabel from North Dakota State today was arguably the best player in attendance, regardless of position.
Wow.
He was sensational, and that includes, you know, your Walter Nolans of the world out of Ole Miss or Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M, both guys that have top 15 buzz. Gray Zabel from North Dakota State, I expect him to be a day two lock. Interior offensive lineman was flat out sensational. A lot of these small school offensive linemen as well, Linnell, have really been just showing up and competed no matter what your helmet decal says.
Yeah. Love that. And that's what the folks out in Mobile are looking for right now, man. It doesn't matter what the decal says. It's about how you compete in front of all the NFL scouts. I want to ask you about the defensive end position, because I think Washington desperately can use a three-down defensive end that is disruptive as a pass rusher, but also stout at the point of attack, setting the edge. I know the kid, I believe is it Mike Green out of Marshall, rather, getting a lot of buzz. He's a smaller defensive end, so I don't know if he necessarily fits the mold of what Washington's looking for. But when you think about that three-down defensive end that can set the edge and rush the passer, is anybody that stood out there?
Yeah, Mike Green, Linnell, I sure hope he gets to 29, because I think if he does, you're snatching him up if I'm Adam Peters.
Yeah.
He came in here, you know, he played at 240 at Marshall this year. He came into Mobile yesterday and weighed in at 251. And seeing this young man move live today, you know, I was very impressed, obviously, with the pass rush repertoire and the production that he had as a G5 prospect, group of five prospect for those out there. You know, but seeing him in the run game, you know, you're talking about getting a guy that not just come in on third downs in your NASCAR type of packages where we've seen Dante Fowler, but now come in on early downs as well and be a guy that can set the edge against guys like Saquon Barkley. Obviously, the issues that they ran into in that conference title game, especially early on in that ball game. So if Mike Green is there at 29, I think you snatch him up. Is it Donovan Ezeraku from Boston College, one of the premier pass rushers in this class as well? Or, Linnell, is it more of a higher floor type of prospect, like a Jack Sawyer from Ohio State? Now, he's not down here at the Senior Bowl this week.
Yeah.
But you know exactly what you're going to get from a guy like Jack Sawyer. He's going to be an early down run defender. And I think, as we saw in the CFP, he's got some juice as well as a pass rusher. I think his ceiling in that aspect of his game is to come in these next 2-3 years. So that's really three guys right there at 29 potentially that they could focus on. And there's a lot of guys in deeper portions of this draft, even a smaller school kid and David Walker as well. If they want to bring in a guy late day two-ish, early day three, just get some more juice at the position.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear you talk that way about Mike Green. I hope that he is able to continue to bulk up and get some girth, but I love him as a pass rusher, as you mentioned. One other position, man, the interior defensive line, I think Washington also will be looking at as well. Who has stood out from that standpoint in terms of maybe not a first-round pick, but maybe a second-rounder or a day-three guy?
I think there's two guys. You know, there's been a lot of conversation out there in Oregon about Derek Harmon, you know, going potentially in the first round. But his running mate in Jamari Caldwell, 342 pounds, just a large human being, bigger than Deron Payne, bigger than John Allen by a good bit. But the way he moves and the way he's just competed today in run drills, anchoring against double teams, and then in one-on-one pass pros, it's not everything. And his tape has to hold weight. You know, I'm not coming down here and saying this is what his grade is going to be after one day of one-on-ones.
Mm-hmm.
But the way in which he moves is something that's going to project to the next level as a vertical push within the interior. So Jamari Caldwell from Oregon, and then a local guy, Virginia Tech's Anais Peebles, that transferred in from Duke. Very, very impressed with Anais. You know, he's not a guy, Linnell, that stood out in one-on-ones today. And I didn't think he was going to stand out in one-on-ones. That's not really his game. He's a guy that works off twist, and that's a guy that you can plug in on early downs to stuff the run a little bit. And also, I think the biggest thing for me is, can you move? What can you do in your lower half? I think everything starts with footwork. And Anais today, specifically, he and Jamari Caldwell did a really nice job on day one impressing teams as guys really in that later day two, early day three developmental traits type of bucket.
Joined right now by our guy Ryan Fowler, who is out in Mobile at the Senior Bowl. Give him a follow on the X app at _RyanFowler_. I want to move to the offensive side of the football here quickly. We won't start in the trenches. I want to go to running back here because I know that is a position Washington is desperately looking to upgrade in terms of getting a more of a home run threat at that position. When you look at some of the guys on day two and day three who stood out today? Were there any?
Yeah, two guys specifically. SMU's Breshard Smith, you know, began his career at Miami. You know, he was a Hurricane as a wide receiver. He was a 4- or 5-star recruit. I believe he was a 4-star coming out of high school as a receiver and transferred to SMU and really blossomed this year, you know, alongside Kevin Jennings, who a quarterback we're going to hear in these next 2 years coming out. But just a really just athletic, electric type of mover, you know, good inside the tackles, good outside the tackles, and someone in space. You know, I think he right now, if he entered Washington's roster, he would be the most electric athlete in the room. I don't think it would be close. Okay. And then if you also wanted to add a guy to potentially be your RB1, the offensive line today, you know, the install for in these offensive periods, it doesn't give you a lot of help and didn't offer you a lot. But watching Damian Martinez from Miami, transferred in from Oregon State, you know, there are a lot of names on that Miami offense this year. But Damian Martinez is somebody, when I look at what Adam Peters wants, what Dan Quinn wants in football players and guys in the locker room, that they're going to run through somebody's face and also has the juice to hit those holes that, unfortunately, Brian Robinson flat out did not hit this year, specifically in the back end. I look at a guy like Damian Martinez, that he's 235, moves like a guy around 210, 215 on day two. That's the guy I'm looking at if I'm Adam Peters.
And then at the wide receiver position, Ryan, Washington potentially could go wide receiver at 29. I could see them using their second or their fifth round pick to upgrade that spot. Who stood out at the wide receiver position today?
Yeah, there's a few guys. You know, there's some repetitive skill sets down here, Linnell. And what I mean by that is guys that are really similarly built the same, offer you a little bit as far as same guys in the slot. You know, your Jalen Royals of the world from Utah State, or Jalen Noel as well from Iowa State. But for me, you know, Kyle Williams from Washington State, his release package, separation always translates to the next level. You know, and I look at Xavier Restrepo as well. Again, not the biggest guy in the world, 5'10", 5'11", but he is somebody that – I think for me, really in that day two bucket, Linnell, to add to this offense where he's not going to run by you a ton. He's not going to run 4.3. He's not 6.2 and go over the top. But he's someone that's going to play for 10, 11 years in this league. And someone in this offense to where Jaden is consistently elevating those around him, Xavier Restrepo, Kyle Williams, and then one of the young men, at Shrine this week that were excellent as well, is LaJonte Wester from Colorado, sixth all-time in receptions in FBS history, electric, electric type of playmaker, and Jacoby George as well. That was in that Miami Hurricane offense that I mentioned earlier on. Just separation is the biggest thing for me, Linnell, and the natural hands catchers as well for me. Now I'm looking at the receiver position and adding guys potentially as that wide receiver 3-ish. I think they may add a guy in free agency to be a wide receiver 1B to Terry this year. So those are some guys to be that rotational depth type of piece to challenge and compete with guys like Luke McCaffrey, you know, a top 100 pick.
Ryan, we're up against the clock. We appreciate you giving us some time as always, my friend.
Appreciate you, Linnell.
Do it again soon. Ryan Fowler on the Absolute Best, talking all things NFL draft. We'll continue to look ahead at the NFL draft coming up on Friday night when I join you on Overtime. Caps Hockey coming your way next. The fellas looking to get back to their winning ways after having the win streak snapped over the weekend. John Walton, Ken Sabrin, take you away.